This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Caregiving can be extremely rewarding, but the pressure of caring for someone who is elderly or has a chronic illness can also lead to stress and feelings of frustration, anger, and even guilt. We'll hear with more on this and how to cope is Michael Close. He's a social worker with Hospice of Central New York. Welcome, Michael. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So caregivers are at risk for certain emotional and physical reactions just by virtue of the fact that they are a caregiver. Tell us about that.
Well, they are, mainly due to the fact that they may not have prepared to be in the role that they're currently find themselves in, being that primary caregiver. Easily remedied by a little pre-planning, perhaps. Thought, conversation, having open and honest conversations with your parent, your spouse, your children, whoever it is that you find yourself caregiving for.
Most of the time that comes on suddenly often to become a caregiver, though. Or often it does.
Very suddenly, yes.
So what you're suggesting is most of us don't think about preparing for this kind of thing.
Correct. In our culture today, we prepare for so many other things. You know, we have insurance for so many things out there, car insurance, health insurance, but we don't really take into consideration long-term care.
That someday some one of us will have to be a caregiver in some respect.
We may have to be.
So, but the whole notion of being a caregiver can lead to certain emotional reactions. It seems understandable in a way. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what you see.
Well, what I see quite often are people kind of getting ahead of themselves, thinking that they can do everything themselves.
You mean as really the caregiver?
As the caregiver, not being prepared to be the only person that is going to be there providing 24-hour support, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They're not really emotionally or physically prepared to be that long-term caregiver.
So what do you say when you talk about preparation? What can someone do to prepare?
What you can do to prepare to be a more effective caregiver is some pre-planning. And you hear that term out in the community every once in a while, pre-planning for arrangements. What I mean when I say pre-planning is having an open and honest conversation with you, your spouse, your parent.
In terms of what your wishes might be, where you want to be, how you want to be treated, those kinds of things.
Your wishes, your healthcare desires. In the medical field, we call them advanced directives. They're very important, and most people address those after they become ill, but really it's something that needs attention even now at 40, 50, 60 years old. Catastrophic illness and even injury aren't something that we know often that they're coming tomorrow, so we have to have that plan put in place before we get ill or injured.
And things like the healthcare proxy and the living will and all of those, that paperwork really should be in place.
Absolutely.
And should be something that family members discuss with each other.
Absolutely. It should be an open and honest conversation with your whole family so everybody's on the same page.
So I've heard the term caregiver burnout. What do we mean when we say that?
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, it's just taking on a little bit more than you were expecting and not really being prepared for that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year of meeting somebody's needs. Wholly.
Other than your own.
Other than your own. And usually, when we're having this conversation, we're not talking about, you know, a 10-pound baby. It's more of a 200-pound grown adult, which has more of a physical need there.
And it sounds to me like it can actually affect your own body's immune system, that kind of stress.
And
perhaps even lead to illness.
Absolutely. Caregiver stress is a very serious topic. It could lead to loss of appetite, loss of sleep, increased depression, increased anxiety, and all of those things when you're not taking care of yourself. We talk about this a lot, self-awareness, self-care. It's a conversation I have daily with folks, you know, taking care of themselves, being aware of their own body and their own needs. When you're paying attention, so much attention to somebody else's needs, you quite often overlook your own.
Yeah, I think that is the most common thing.
Absolutely. And it's also very common in the healthcare field as well. With everyone focusing on everyone else's needs, you kind of forget about yourself.
So what are some of the other ways that you need to become prepared? You said you need to get some of the legal advice, mm-hmm. so that you understand kind of what your legal responsibilities are and what the person's wishes are legally as well.
Absolutely. The advanced directives is a big point that needs to be addressed before someone gets ill or injured. Another beneficial task would be to review all of your insurances to see if you have Medicare or commercial insurance, what exactly they're going to cover. If you have a long-term care policy, that would definitely need to be addressed and reviewed early. Other benefits from the state, the county level, the federal level, VA benefits, if that's appropriate.
So basically, you really got to get all your ducks in a row, so to speak.
Absolutely.
All your paperwork clear. Yeah. Well, let's get back, to this whole idea of recognizing as a caregiver if you should have caregiver burnout or stress. And some of the signs that you've already recognized, mm-hmm. you would notice if you're having headache pain or stomach pain or things that are happening that you may not normally experience.
Right.
You need to begin to recognize this and then what can you do? What do you recommend people do? Because quite often they can't relieve themselves of the responsibility.
That's right. Well, a few things that you could do is surround yourself by identifying multiple caregivers for backup. So if I'm the primary caregiver, that first person who's going to be there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that you have multiple people who can come in and sit with your loved one for 2 or 3 hours so you can get out to your own doctor's appointments, so you can get out to perhaps a support group, to meetings, or just to, you know, go out to have lunch with friends or to the park for a walk. You really need to be kind of aware of all the things that kind of surround you.
So that old adage that we talk about, actually that came from the airline industry, you know, is to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help someone else. You really need to recognize what your needs are and try to find ways to meet them.
Absolutely. It's a great analogy.
Maintain yourself. So I read somewhere that things, first of all, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Hospice of Central New York social worker Michael Close, and we're talking about coping with caregiving, which is really quite a significant issue for many, many people these days as people are living longer and we're being asked to take care of our loved ones. What are some of the ways? I mean, I read somewhere that things like relaxation techniques are really important. Do you help some of your clients with that, learning some specific techniques, for example, to minimize the stress that builds up during the day?
Usually by the time I get involved, we're more towards the end of caregiving. But with some folks that have been in it, you know, for the long term, try to identify other options that they have. Again, you know, support groups, backup plans, other people that can come in and help. And there's plenty of programs out there at the county level.
Yeah, I might add that the County Department of Aging and Youth, I know, has a Caregiver Resources Center. Mm-hmm. They have a telephone number, 435-2362. That's area code 315. And also they developed an eye care institute, which is for caregivers. And they have classes that they give, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the year for people to get together and talk about some of their issues with caregiving.
Yes.
So that's a good resource as well.
Yep.
And tell us, when you say you get involved usually toward the very end of life through
Correct.
The hospice.
Yes.
But are there special issues that occur more then for the caregiver than would happen maybe early on in the process?
Yes, just because the your loved one, the individual who's physically going through the medical direction that they're going in, the end of life care, they have more emotional needs and physical needs, which bring up more emotional needs for the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of identifying that. And then they get so entranced in the caregiving for months or years, that's all coming to an end. And it's kind of all coming to a realization. And now you have 24 hours a day where you don't have somebody to care for.
Especially if a person's been moved perhaps to a facility after you've been the primary person taking care of them. I would imagine that alone could also bring up feelings of loneliness, guilt, even depression.
Guilt and depression and anxiety are all very big.
Especially
emotional.
Even more so, you think, toward the end.
That's where they all kind of come to a head. You know, it all kind of comes up and you know, it, depending on how long you were a caregiver, if you were a caregiver for years, and now that's, you're starting to realize and see signs that it's coming to an end, you could possibly have more of those triggers that we were speaking of.
And so what do you recommend people actually seek? Psychiatric help, psychological treatment? You as a social worker, do you spend time actually doing therapeutic work with caregivers?
If it's appropriate, absolutely. You know, the psychiatric care would be very specialized if there was a psychiatric need, severe depression, dysthymia. Social workers are a great resource at hospice. We have the Center for Living with Loss. So after your loved one passes away, for 13 months after that loss, you can actually come into hospice and have ongoing supportive counseling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, it's a great resource.
Yes, that's really wonderful.
And it's free.
It's free, wow.
It is, yeah. It's part of the program.
Can you tell us the number at Hospice of Central New York?
The telephone number at Hospice of Central New York is 315-634-1100.
Okay. That's very important, I think, for people to know, because especially as we enter the holiday season, going into the holiday season and beyond, it seems to me, in general, there's a lot of expectations for it being a joyful time. And if we're in a situation in our lives that's not as wonderful as we might hope, mm-hmm. it would seem that, I mean, a lot of people are coping with emotional feelings during this time. So I know that knowing that there's a resource, especially if you are a caregiver, to find some support and hope is really very helpful.
Absolutely.
Also, this idea of respite services, when you mentioned people need to have time to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Department of Aging and Youth and the Caregiver Resource Center does have information about different types of respite care. But do you recommend that people really have an opportunity to get away from this experience on a somewhat regular basis if they can?
That's a case-by-case basis. I promote that everybody plans for it, that at least you make yourself aware that it's out there, what the requirements are for you to meet their specific requirements, because every program out there, whether it be covered by your insurance or commercial, they're going to have their different criteria and different requirements. And early on, I like to find out what criteria you meet, what position where we could find a backup plan for each individual patient.
So that you might be able to get some support that
way. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is very, very helpful information. I think a lot of people out there these days have become caregivers. Many, many of us, myself in particular, have it on both sides. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we can often be that sandwich generation.
And that's right.
Do you find that women are more often in that position? Or do you see it as pretty?
I think culturally women tend to be more in that position.
So reaching out for help, putting the oxygen mask on yourself, finding those resources, and trying to realize that you can't do it all.
That's right.
Is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Really,
and recognizing that ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
Making the plan, forward thinking.
Be prepared.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing you say. Well, thank you so very much. My guest has been Michael Close. He's a social worker at Hospice of Central New York. I thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.